Hello, and welcome to the Brutal Iron Gym Podcast, where our goal is to cut through the BS and deliver the brutal truth about topics related to health and happiness. Today's podcast is number 834. The topic is training, and the title is How to Become a Morning Person. So we're going to discuss how do we get better at working out in the morning, even if we don't feel like a morning person. Now, before we get started, I do want to thank the patrons of the podcast through the Podbean podcast platform. We have a donation kind of structure where people can donate to the cost of the podcast. And the podcast is several hundreds of dollars a year, so I sincerely appreciate those who support the podcast, even just $5 a month, $10 a month, anything like that. It really does add up and make a difference for us. So thank you very, very much to the patrons of the podcast. It is because of you that I can continue to do this every day. So thank you very much. And thank you to those who share the podcast, support the podcast, interact with the podcast. Sincerely, I appreciate everyone being involved. It feels amazing for me to have the sensation that I'm making a difference, and I hope that the information we share is making a difference in your life. So thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you all around. Now, what we're going to do today is I had someone reach out to me. They're actually family, so it's pretty cool to know that I'm helping family. And they had kind of a little bit of a descriptor where they were going through the concept that they know when they start working out. I think we all understand this, is often we struggle to start our workouts. We're not motivated. We're kind of tired. We have a million other things to do. But once we start our workout, we tend to just kind of feel better. Kind of as like halfway through the workout, we feel really good. We're excited. We feel accomplished. And at the end of the workout, we're like, man, why do I struggle so much? I love this. I'm going to do great tomorrow. And then all of a sudden tomorrow comes around. We're like, oh, I don't feel like working out again. And it just cycles all the time. Part of the reason why we feel good once we get moving is the release of adrenaline and endorphins. Endorphins are natural painkillers. As we start to experience some pain and discomfort due to the training, our body releases the hormone of endorphins, and it helps to kind of blunt some of that pain, and it makes us feel really well. So I remember whenever I had some of my injuries, my past injuries, especially a lower back injury, I have a slipped disc in my back, and I had a lot of nerve pinch and a lot of nerve pain, and it was 14 months every single day my back hurt. All day, every day, and it either felt worse or it felt painful. It was just like a 5 out of 10 or a 10 out of 10. There was no zeros. Until I would work out. When I would work out, all of a sudden my body would have this huge dump of endorphins and adrenaline, and I would actually feel good. So I remember when I was dealing with that injury, I would work out 2 or 3 hours a day if I could, because it was the only time of the day that I actually got a release and I actually felt good. So that was neat to feel, but that is kind of an extreme example of the effect that exercise has on our kind of natural painkillers. It helps us kind of release those and create those. Then also adrenaline kind of helps with kind of the fight or flight system. It helps us stay focused. We tend to feel like hyper and kind of like more active, more agile, more energetic. So we have those two big hormones being released when we exercise. So that's typically why we feel so good at the end of the workout, is we have high production of endorphins and adrenaline by the time we get to the end of the workout. We feel amazing. We feel great. We feel wonderful. And that's a very addicting feeling. The downside then is, though, that fades away. And then the next morning when we try to get up and work out again, or the next day, whatever, whenever you work out, we don't have the high endorphins. We don't have the high adrenaline. We don't have that natural high that we feel motivated from. So we have to kind of motivate from somewhere else. So that's typically why people will feel better during your workout or at the end of the workout than they did at the beginning of the workout. There's not much we can do to get our endorphins and adrenaline up faster. I'm going to talk about quite a few tips today. And there are ways we can ease into workouts. So maybe we don't like starting our workouts because we start with something very challenging or very hard or something we don't enjoy. You can start your workout with something that's easier and maybe you enjoy it a little bit more. And that'll help give you time for the endorphins and adrenaline to be produced, but not yet necessarily get into the stuff that you hate, the stuff that you kind of demotivates you. So what we're going to do is, essentially that's what they asked, was how do we become better at working out in the morning? They said that, and this is true for overwhelmingly most people, that once the world gets up, the world gets in your way. If you have kids, if you have spouse, if you have just job, life, anything, what you notice is throughout the day, urgencies come up. So what's important versus what's urgent? Urgent things come up throughout the day. They typically are not there at the beginning of the day. They typically come throughout the day. So if we can get what's most important for us done before the world gets in the way, that's typically going to be the better daily structure. So becoming a morning person, being able to work out in the morning or doing any kind of self-care in the morning is a really good idea because that's before everyone else gets awake. So before everybody else gets in the way. So morning workouts do become kind of a necessity. Even if somebody isn't naturally a morning person, even if they don't naturally like working out in the mornings, they'll notice that when they do, their overall happiness of life feels better. They feel more productive. They have less anxiety throughout the day. They feel less stressed because they're fighting everybody to try to get their own time. They already had their own time, so they're good to go. So there's a lot of psychological benefits, a lot of quality of life benefits to working out in the morning to address self-care in the morning. Since we know that, and maybe you don't yet, but I promise it is true. But if we're fighting to create that, and we feel like we're not normal, we're not naturally a morning person, you can feel very defeating. You can say to yourself, "Man, I know I'm supposed to work out in the morning. That is when it works best for me. I just freaking don't want to do it. Like, I feel miserable. I'm tired. I'm worn out. I just want to lay in bed for an extra hour or two. It's just so frustrating. I know that that's the best time for me, but I just don't feel like doing it at that time. I would love to work out middle of the day, or I'd love to work out in the evening, but just so much crap gets in the way. So it's unfortunate that the schedule of our lives don't match what our body feels and wants. That is very frustrating. You have to just accept that, though. If you have any ability whatsoever to create your own me time in the evenings, do that. If you have a spouse, you can make agreements and say, "Hey, you know, I would like 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. to be left alone. Can you take care of the kids? Can you take care of the house stuff? Can you give me that time?" That can work some of the times. But what happens if the kids have an after-school event? What happens if you have an evening event, you have to go meet people? You're going to lose that hour because that's a pretty high activity hour during the day. Versus, say, 5 a.m. to 6 a.m., not much is going to get in the way because everybody in the world is still sleeping. So if you have the opportunity to create some me time windows in the middle of the day or in the, later in the day, do so. It's awesome. Go ahead and do that. There are still going to be tips in here that help you get motivated at those times. But what we're essentially looking at today is how do we become better at working out in the mornings? How can we fight our body's natural kind of instinct to stay in bed and hit the snooze button? Well, a couple of things we can focus on. The first thing we can think of is a good morning actually starts the day before. What we do the day before, what I did yesterday, influences our today. And let's think through this. It makes common sense. If I didn't eat very well yesterday, if I didn't stay hydrated, if I had a highly stressed day, if I was running around like a crazy person and I was up till 1 a.m., I'm not going to want to get up at 5 in the morning, okay? I'm going to feel like crap. I'm going to feel like sleepiness and tiredness, and my body's going to argue with me at when the alarm goes off. That's common sense. That's sure. Of course that's going to happen. So let's start by starting at yesterday. Let's start the day before. If I start with today, I can make my tomorrow better. One of the things we can do is improve our kind of meal timing the day before. If we eat the day before, but we kind of haphazardly do so, maybe we skip breakfast, a shitty lunch, and we eat all of our food at evening. The downside of that is our body felt stress all day when it didn't get the food that it needed. So what's going to happen is the body's going to collect stress throughout the day. Because you're underfed, you're kind of running on fumes, the body's tired, you're worn out, you get to the end of the day, you finally sit down. You put some food in your face, you drink a glass of wine maybe, you finally go to bed. Your body is going to take all of that food in the evening and try to address all of the damage that you did during the day. But if you also worked out the day before, or even that day, it has to address the damage of the workout plus the damage of the day. Whereas, if we have better meal timing the day before, we kind of spread our calories out throughout the day, our body can mitigate some of the stress and damage that happens during the day, and it can have less of that to have to deal with, and it only has to recover from the most recent workout. All of a sudden, the next morning, you wake up, and you feel more recovered. You feel better. That makes sense. So if I improve my meal timing the day before, I can actually improve how well I feel the next morning when I wake up. One of the things I'd argue that I think is a really great idea if you can do it is try to get more of your calories at the beginning of the day. Try to have half of your calories in the first three meals of the day. Have a breakfast, some kind of mid-morning snack, and maybe a lunch. In those three meals, you want to have half of your daily calories. That's very helpful because most people don't do that. Most people have maybe a third of their daily calories during the day and two-thirds at night. That unfortunately creates that kind of stressed feel for the body throughout the day. If we were to flip that, if we were to have two-thirds of our food during the work hours, say 9 to 5, and then only one-third of our food at the evening, we will have mitigated a lot of physical stress, a lot of physical fatigue, and therefore our body will feel more recovered the next morning. Also, by improving our meal timing the day before, we reduce the cortisol that our body releases when it feels stressed. When our body is stressed, it releases cortisol. And there's a whole bunch of sciencey stuff that is unnecessary for us to get into. But what it equates to is our body feels overworked, overtired, overstrained. And cortisol impairs sleep quality. We either have a harder time falling asleep, or we fall asleep for like an hour, and then we're wide awake in the middle of the night. That's going to come from caffeine abuse and or high cortisol. There's a lot of sleep quality issues that are related to caffeine abuse and high cortisol. So, if we can eat better during the day, we don't feel like we need as much caffeine. If we eat better during the day, we don't create as much cortisol. I then can have a better quality of sleep. If an improved quality of sleep, I'm going to wake up the next morning and feel a lot better. So that is what we really need to focus on. A good morning today started yesterday. Let's pay attention to that. Another thing we can think about is limiting blue light, which is electronic light from cell phones and computers and stuff, about an hour or so before we go to bed. This helps improve quality of sleep as well. There's a whole bunch of research about this. I've actually read a couple books because I thought it was just kind of really interesting. And it is true that if you expose yourself to a lot of blue light throughout the day, our eyes feel stressed, our body feels stressed, we just kind of feel mentally a little just wired a little bit. And it's harder time falling asleep. It's harder time for our body to get into a natural circadian rhythm. So get sleepy and fall asleep. You can buy blue light glasses, really freaking cheap. They're non-prescription if you don't want prescription. You can actually get prescription ones that have blue light lenses in them. But you can do that very cheaply. Wear those last 2 or 3 hours before you go to bed. That helps kind of block the blue light, allow your body to still get in like a sleepy kind of pattern. Also, we can create non-screen nighttime habits. So for the last hour before you go to bed, get the hell away from your phone, get the hell away from your computer. Sign out. Let the world do its own thing, okay? I have clients, I suggest to them to do different things. They might do daily reviews, they might do gratitude journals, they might do brain dumps. So what a brain dump is essentially anything that stressed you throughout the day, you get it out of your mind, you get it onto paper, and then you deal with that paper tomorrow. So it kind of helps you organize your thoughts, get them out of your head, so that way you don't think about weird random things as you're trying to fall asleep. And then a gratitude journal helps release happy hormones, and it just helps you feel better and feel more content before you go to bed. You talk about something that day that made you happy, something that day that made you feel like you made a difference in someone else's life. There's a lot of benefit to doing those. We actually do have a podcast, recent one, just number 804, titled Mindset, Brain Dumps, and Gratitude Journal. We talk about the benefits of that. Every single client I have who does this talks about how helpful it is to them, how meaningful it has been to just their quality of life. Now, sometimes they, go on a trip, they go on vacation, they get stressed, and they kind of fall out of the habit. And all of a sudden, all that negativity comes back and they say, oh man, I need to get back into doing that. Every time they get back into the habit, they feel better. So this is something that I have absolutely no doubt in my mind. If you started practicing these habits, they would make a positive difference for you. You will wake up better. You will wake up more restored with more physical energy and more emotional and mental energy, more willpower. So please check out podcast 804 about brain dumps and gratitude journal. It'll make a huge, Huge difference. Okay? Next is a lot of people, they need sound before they go to bed. I have a lot of people that tell me, like, I need to watch TV or I just kind of watch Netflix or watch YouTube before I go to bed. Don't do that. That's that blue light stuff. That's just kind of keeping your mind active, your mind awake. There's too many senses awake in the moment of watching a video or something like that. So what I tell them is, instead of watching something, listen to something. Listen to a podcast. So one of the things I'll do is, when I have kind of that urge to just mindlessly watch YouTube, I'll instead put on a podcast. And I'll listen to a podcast, and within 5 seconds, I'm like sleeping. So I'll sometimes put, like, I know Audible, which I use for my audiobooks, they have a sleep timer, so I can just set it for 10 minutes. And then if I fall asleep while the book is talking, I don't miss too much, I can just back up the next morning to where I remember listening to. So that way it doesn't run all night. But that's an option, is it really does make a difference to listen instead of watching to something before you go to bed. Next thing we have, the last thing we'll talk about, the morning, the night before, or the day before, is to make a plan for the next morning. Have an agenda. Know what you're getting up for. So if you work out in the morning, already know what your workout will be. Make sure it's written down. Make sure you have an idea of what you're doing. Don't wake up in the morning and go, well, I don't even really know what to do. It's overwhelming. I'm tired. I'm not going to do anything. Already have an agenda. Already have a game plan. Already have some kind of workout structure, template, format, program, whatever the hell it is. Just have a plan. Wake up with a purpose. Know what you're waking up for. That way, when your eyes open, the alarm goes off, you can say, hey, you know what? I know what I'm doing today. I know why I'm doing it. Let me get the hell out of this bed and let me get going. That helps a lot. So that's some tips we have for the day before. If we adhere to those tips, if we do those things, even to any degree, to small degrees, it'll improve how we feel in the morning. Therefore, we're going to become a better morning person by taking care of the day before that. So we talked about the tips were meal timing the day before, making sure we eat our calories throughout the day, proper hydration, proper fueling, all those good things. We want to limit blue light before bed. We talked about getting blue light glasses, maybe non-screen time, nighttime habits like the brain dump and the gratitude journal. Listen to things, don't watch things, and then make a plan for the next morning. Quick, simple tips, but they make a huge difference. Then the morning of, here we go. Here's some tips. If you apply all these tips, it'll make a big difference. If you apply some of them, it'll make some of a difference. If you don't apply any of these, why the hell are you even listening? Okay. So the first thing we can do is sabotage your alarm. Self-sabotage yourself. I guess that kind of implied in self-sabotage. Who else are you going to self-sabotage? But stay with me. What we can do here is put your alarm away from your bed. There are people that tell you to put it across the room. People tell you to put it in the next room. It doesn't really matter. Just get your alarm somewhere where you have to get up out of bed to turn it off. What I used to do is my bedroom had carpet, so I would set my alarm. I'd put my phone on the floor and then slide it away from my bed. And then the next morning when it goes off, you hear, like, basically the alarm starts going off. You reach for the nightstand next to you. You realize it's across the room and you go, shit. And then you have to get out of bed to go turn it off. Or you try to throw the covers over your ears and try to sleep through the alarm. But what it does is it forces action. It forces movement. You can't just hit the snooze button and stay in that, like, kind of foggy state of sleep. You have to at least be up enough to get moving and go turn that damn alarm off. It'll probably piss you off, which gets the adrenaline up, gets your hormones up. So it just works really well. What's also fun about that is typically if you're a nighttime person trying to become a morning person, you're usually pretty fired up at night to do things productive. So at night, you're going to say, you know what? I want to have an awesome morning. I'm going to slide my alarm across the room. And then the next morning, you're like, you asshole, why'd you do that? So you'll have a little fun fights with yourself, but it really does help. So I've done that for years and years and years now, kind of to probably to the happiness of Meredith. I do not do that anymore. Meredith is my wife, by the way. If you haven't listened to the podcast, I recently got married, which is freaking amazing. I have the best life partner ever, 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 and I'm super excited about that. So to make sure she stays my wife, I do not set an alarm across the room that wakes both of us up. I'm blessed that she also is kind of a productive person. She likes to get up in the morning as well. But that is an idea. If you do have a significant other, tell them what your goal is. Maybe they can kind of get incorporated with it. Maybe they can you know, kind of get involved, maybe they can help support you. I know I have one client, her husband gets up with her at 5 a.m. and he'll make her coffee and he'll kind of like make sure she gets moving. And then he goes and lays back down for an hour. Pretty nice guy. Now, if you say my husband would never do that for me, why don't you ask? Why don't you tell them, or your wife, like maybe it's both ways, okay? Why don't you tell your significant other why you want to do this? You're going to prioritize your health. You want to make sure that you're happy and healthy, and that's going to help you be a better version of yourself to gift into their life. Chances are they'll probably be supportive in some way. They'll want to help in some way. Maybe they're not a morning person, and they're going to tell you to go screw yourself with the idea of the alarm, but maybe they can help in some other way. You can also set the alarm to vibrate as well, and then just put that under your pillow. That'll freak you the hell out in the morning. But that's something that you can do. Sabotage your alarm. Try to make it where you have to get up out of bed. You have to put more effort into turning it off. There's actually a company that sells an alarm that you have to like do like a jigsaw puzzle to turn off the alarm. And that would probably be so damn frustrating. But that's a really cool idea. Another company, they make a mat. A floor mat that you can set next to your bed that it only turns off if you pressurize it, if you put your feet on it, which is pretty cool. So this concept is you know, not crazy. Companies make products that even apply to this. So that's an idea. Another thing we want to do is to hydrate. Hydrate/fuel yourself. Now, if you take thyroid medicine in the morning, you can't have carbohydrates for about an hour. That sucks. That's what you got to deal with, though. So just drink a big liter of water. If you don't take thyroid medicine, if you don't have any issues with kind of ingesting calories, especially sugary calories, right when you wake up, that would be a cool idea. Glucose is our body's fuel system. It's the most preferred fuel system. And if we drink glucose when we wake up, our body kind of like wakes up. It gets the processes going for energy production. It's like putting gas in the gas tank of a car. If I put some glucose in, it'll help my body feel more hydrated, more ready to exercise. I've had a client tell me before that they had somebody in their life they knew that said sugars cause cancer. So they didn't want to have sugars before they worked out because they thought it would cause cancer. Absolutely insanely stupid. Any calories you eat can potentially fuel the growth of a cancer cell. So just to negatively look at sugar and say sugar in general causes cancer is an absolute asinine statement. So stupid. So don't be afraid of sugar. What you need to be afraid of is having too much sugar compared to your activity level. When people drink a 2 liter of soda but they sit on their ass all day, that's when sugar causes problems. It's if you don't burn it off. If you have a 15 grams of sugar to 20 grams of sugar drink before you then go exercise for 30 minutes to an hour, you're totally fine. It's not going to cause a problem at all. I have helped people get off of various medications that excessive sugars would have been an issue, and we still drank sugar when they worked out because it was a good fuel source for them. We don't have to worry about sugar. We have to worry about excessive sugar. That's the same as true as fats, though, in diets. Same is true of protein. You can actually have excessive protein. So anything in excess is a problem, pretty much. But anything in the right amount can be helpful. No, maybe not anything. But foods in the right amount can be helpful. You don't have to villainize sugar. Sugar does not directly cause cancer. That's insane. So let's not get worked up about that. If you don't believe me, and you still don't want to have sugar, fine, drink water. Just get some fluid in you. Get hydrated. Get moving. Our body uses water as parts of almost every process the body does throughout the day. It's a very important resource for the body. If we wake up dehydrated, the body is going to be slow to opening up new processes and get processes started in the day. If we wake up and we hydrate ourselves as quickly as we can, it makes an enormous difference for energy. I know this to be 100% true for me. I have tested this and it has worked every single time I test it. If I drink a liter of water within the first 15 minutes of being awake, I have way more energy in the first 2 hours of my day. when I take that out, I do feel more sluggish and I don't feel that same energy level. I've had clients try this and they report the exact same. Drink a liter of water within the first 15 minutes. If you're not used to that, well then drink half of a liter in the first 15 minutes. Just make some kind of goal that is more than what you do now and work your way up to a liter of fluid within the first 15 minutes of being awake. You'll have huge energy jumps. Okay. Next tip we have is don't get distracted. Know what you're getting up for. Get moving. Stay off your damn phone. Okay. Don't get lost on Facebook, Instagram, or whatever news stuff there is. Don't get on the computer. Don't do anything. Get up, go to the bathroom, brush your teeth, and then get to working out. Get moving. Okay. You can also help yourself by getting in the right mood. Having good freaking music. I love Motown. I love blues. I love kind of funk music. So I'll play that whenever I'm working out with Meredith in the mornings. So sometimes she'll do a quick workout in the mornings and I'll play some good funk music and I'll dance around her and be a goofball as she's working out. But it's super fun. It's enjoyable. It gets the body up and moving. It makes the moment actually enjoyable. And like you want to do it, you look forward to doing it. So get some good music. Also pay attention to the lighting. Some people don't like bright lights in the morning. That's okay. But make sure it's not so damn like dim and dark that you don't kind of ignite the systems of your body to wake up. If you try to work out in a really dimly lit place, it's going to make you more calm. You don't want calmness when you just woke up because that's going to equal sleepiness. So make sure the lighting is good. You don't have to be bright lights. You don't have to hurt your eyes. But you do want to have good lighting to where it feels like you should be awake in that space, not sleeping in that space. Also, temperature helps a lot. I grew up in the north. I grew up in Pennsylvania. And when it's cold, who the hell wants to get up out of bed? I don't want to throw those covers off me and expose myself to miserable coldness. So when my bedroom is too cold, it demotivates me to get up and move. If my bedroom is too hot, I feel disgusting and sweaty and miserable, and that's not good either. So having the right temperature for your bedroom helps a lot. Cool enough that you can sleep without sweating and feeling overheated, but not so damn cold that you don't want to take the covers off in the morning. The next tip we have is to ease into your workouts. Do something that's kind of okay, something that you can move around with, nothing that's like shockingly miserable right away. One of the things you can do is use heating rubs and heating oils. So Meredith got me Kwan Long oil. It's K-W-A-N-L-O-O-N-G, Kwan Long oil. And that's an oil kind of like an Icy Hot or like BioFreeze, which are other products as well, where you can rub that on some achy joints. So I'm 37 years old. I actually do have some arthritis in my fingers. That's just shit luck and that's life. But I like putting that oil on like my knees and my elbows. And it kind of helps kind of feel warmed up faster. So you can do kind of heating rubs, heating oils, do some light cardio. If you have a chance to do like, you know, elliptical, treadmill, maybe go for a walk, maybe just step up and down the steps a couple times, do some step ups. So you can just use like a single step or a double step and just step up and down on 10 reps on each leg for 3 rounds. That wakes you up. That gets you moving. It's something easy to go. You can do active mobility routines, which are like active stretching kind of movements. I have those available if anybody is interested. We have little ebooks on that stuff. They're $20. And it just has like morning routines you can do for stretching and active mobility. Really cool. Very easy. The reason why I charge for it is because it took me a shitload of time to create it. And it helps lightly supplement the cost of the gym and the cost of my life and the cost of the podcast. So $20 isn't a huge investment on your part, but it adds up on my end to where I can help kind of make this podcast more possible and things like that. But we do have active mobility routines for shoulder health, hip health, overall body openness, morning routines for exactly this purpose. So if you're interested in any of those, they're $20. I can send you them. Just shoot me an email at brutalirongym@gmail.com. But that's what you want to do is ease into your workouts. Don't start with the most aggressive, miserable thing. Just get moving. You can use the heating oils and stuff like that to warm up the joints. It helps a lot. Okay. Some extra tips we have. I know I'm getting long here, and hopefully you had a piece of paper. Hopefully you're ready for this, but we're going through it, and I want to make sure that this is as helpful as I can make it. So just give me about like 5 more minutes maybe, okay? So some other things we want to look at. The main reasons why people are missing in action, MIA, towards their goals is they struggle with motivation, information, or accountability. They have good information, but they just don't feel motivated to do it. or they're motivated, they do the information, but, you know, something comes up, gets in the way, and they just kind of don't follow through. They kind of fade out over time. They don't stick with it. Every time they get back to it, they're excited to do it, but for some reason, it just fades out, and it's not consistent. What we need to look at, then, is constantly renewing our motivation. You can do mantras. So there's actually a book that I got. Let me look this up real quick. It's an audio book that has like an hour and a half of mantras. And it's actually really freaking cool because it just talks to you. It's called Affirmations. Let me see if I can pull this up without screwing up everything. Whoop, there we go. So it's called Affirmations, Meditation, and Hypnosis for Positivity and a Success Mindset. That sounds horrendous in terms of like being really corny and stuff. But I promise it's actually pretty cool. It is pretty long, but you can go through different chapters. They have chapters, let's see here. They have chapters on different kind of success in business, success in personal life, dealing with depression, different things. There's different categories to it. And it's pretty awesome in the sense that it gives you mantras, daily mantras that you can use. I also have other books that I bought that I've enjoyed reading a quote of the day, and that is really helpful. That kind of helps motivate things. I actually send quotes to my clients every morning in the weekdays, and it gives them different quotes that can help motivate them and get them kind of going throughout the day. There's one called Fired Up Sailing, S-E-L-L-I-N-G, not sailing on a boat. And it's just great quotes for inspiration, energization, and succeeding. I don't know if I said any of that correctly, but the book is called Fired Up. And it's a really good book, has really great quotes in it. So you can check that out. There's another book I'm reading by Jeffrey Gitomer, G-I-T-O-M-E-R, G-I-T-O-M-E-R, Jeffrey, however you say that name. And the book is titled Get Shit Done. So that's a good book. And then I'm also looking through and flipping through a book called Discipline Equals Freedom by Jocko Willink, who wrote another book called Extreme Ownership. It is amazing the resources that are out there. You can check out those books. Also, morning specific kind of books. There's one called Miracle Morning by Hal Elrod. His first name is H-A-L, the last name is E-L-R-O-D, and the book is titled Miracle Morning. And it talks about how just like waking up in the morning and being a morning person, being productive in the morning can have such a significant impact on your life. And it gives you kind of tips on how to do that. There's also The 5-Second Rule by Mel Robbins, R-O-B-B-I-N-S. And that's a great book on how to just kind of get going and get doing things that maybe you don't feel super excited to do. You just count to five and you get your ass moving. There's also Atomic Habits by James Clear. That's a great book. Holy crap, is that a good book. And it just talks about a million ways that you can create better habits, whether you want to start habits or end habits. So start good ones or end bad ones. That book is amazing. Atomic Habits by James Clear. So those are really cool ideas. You can read books, get mantras, get quotes, get word of the day, word of the year that you can tell yourself. Like I said, we have a service where we actually send morning text messages to people, and it's super awesome. It really gets you motivated. It kind of has a little content to it. Gets you up and moving with a good mindset every morning. Then the MIA acronym, motivation is the M. I is the information. Sometimes people struggle with knowing what to do. Well, I want to work out in the morning, but what's the best thing for me to do? And it's trying to create a program, trying to find information for what you want. And that can be challenging. So if you need that, there are a million programs online. We also sell one ourselves. So we have a monthly program service. And then it also includes accountability. So our service is $50 a month. And we send you morning text messages. We have training programs specific to whatever you want your goal to be. And we have accountability charts and accountability methods. For an extra $50 a month, which equals $100 a month, you get all three of those things, plus a My Journal service, where you write down your thoughts and struggles and obstacles, and I'll actually write back on how to address them and correct them. So it's kind of like a life coach. I love that service. The people who are doing it, thank you for doing this. It's super freaking fun. I love this stuff. So it motivates me to read all these books and learn all this stuff. And I love passing on the knowledge of great people onto the clients and people who work with me. It's amazing. I've improved the quality of my life a millionfold by trying my best to help other people. So for $50 a month, you get the morning text messages, training programs, and accountability charts. And then for an extra $50 a month, you get to interact with me. Yay. And we talk every single week and discuss the challenges you face and how to overcome them. But you can also do that yourself. You can create it yourself. You can create accountability by having just a workout partner, maybe a friend, a cousin, nephew, you know, neighbor, whatever, somebody that you connect with and share whether you did what you're supposed to do that day or not. You can hire a coach, a trainer, something like that. You can also use social media. You can post every morning when you wake up, and that hopefully motivates somebody else to do that. You can use your story to help somebody else's. So there's a ton of stuff we can do, okay? So it's really, really helpful if we were to implement any of these. But if you implement all of them, I promise it'll make a huge difference in your life. You can become a morning person in the sense that you know doing self-care in the morning is best for you schedule-wise. And we can create the body feel and the mindset that allows you to be consistent with that. Are you necessarily going to be perfect every day? Probably not. It's very unlikely. But can you be, like, do what you need to do, say 5 out of 7 days a week? Hell yeah. That is certainly possible. I do that myself. I have clients that do that. Is everybody perfect? No. Don't aim for perfect. That's ridiculous. Okay? It's too high of a standard, and nowhere in life is anybody ever perfect. So don't worry about that. Okay? Let's set something that's productive. For example, I have one client. They work out on Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday, Friday. They let themselves sleep in on Wednesday because that feels like to them they get a chance to reset themselves from the stress of the beginning of the week and prepare themselves to handle the stress of the second half of the week. That's wonderful. I have another client that works out Tuesday through Friday. They don't want to get up on Monday mornings. They say Mondays are miserable enough. I'm going to sleep in on Mondays. And then they get up on Tuesday through Friday. So you don't have to do it every day. You just have to do it enough days to make a difference. Hopefully, all of this was helpful. You can become enough of a morning person to be successful in your self-care, to move forward in your goals. It can be done. I've done it. I've had hundreds of clients done. I've been a personal trainer now for 19 years. I've had over 2,000 client history. I could tell you all their names. I have them all saved. So I can tell you that this is possible. Implement some of the stuff that we talked about today. It will make a difference. I promise, promise, promise. And if you need any help, like we said, we have those services. For $50 a month, we can text you every morning. We can send you a training program specific to your goals, and we can help you with accountability. For an extra $50 a month, I'll talk with you myself, and we'll work through your specific issues. There's no contracts. You can do a month or two one way, then switch to a different way, however you need. But we want you to live your best life. I sincerely appreciate your investment into this podcast by listening into the podcast. And I hope that this podcast can make a difference. If you need me to get involved to make sure that difference happens, please let me know. Our email is brutalirongym@gmail.com. Our website is www.brutalirongym.com. One of those two ways, reach out. Let us know you're there. Let us know that you need the help, and I promise we'll help. Cool. Well, if you thought today's podcast was helpful, please, please, please click like on this specific episode. It helps the podcast be more search friendly on different podcast platforms so more people can find the podcast. So please like the podcast itself, please follow it, and please like the episodes. It makes a big difference. Thank you for doing so. Also, if you like the podcast and you think it's helpful in your life, please share it into other people's lives so that way they can get the benefit, so they can live healthier and happier lives. And if you like the information that we share in our podcast, you can find more from us on our social media channels on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter under the name Brutal Iron Gym. Finally, if you have any questions, feedback, or suggestions, we'd love to hear from you. So thank you to this person who sent in this question and request. I think it was an awesome topic, and I hope that it helps a lot of other people as well. I hope it helps them, first of all, but hopefully it was helpful. But if there's ever anything you want to learn about, the idea of the podcast is to be for you. So whatever you want to know, let us know, and we'll make a podcast about it. You can tell us at our email at brutalirongym@gmail.com. As always, I hope this was helpful, and thank you for listening.